Category E6, sports broadcaster, Oisín Langan.
News Talk Sport.
8:24 on Wednesday's News Talk Breakfast. Oisín Langan is here with all the morning sports news, and you brought a friend.
Yes, there's still no confirmation from Manchester United on whether or not Alex Ferguson will retire at the end of the season. Due to the club's partial flotation on the New York Stock Exchange, any official announcement would have to be made on there or would have to come through an official newswire as recognised by the Stock Exchange. Doug Keating can tell you a bit more about that in business. The Stock Exchange opens at 2:30 New York time, but in around now, our time. It doesn't necessarily mean there'll be an announcement straight away. There mightn't be anything to announce. Reports are suggesting that the players and staff have already been told by the club to wait on an announcement. Former Manchester United player and MUTV pundit Paddy Creran joins us now. Paddy, can you shed any light on what's happening?
I'm just laughing in actual fact. All of a sudden the flotation at the New York and oh God almighty. I think people must sit up at night and think, now, what can I do to make a sensational story? The manager of Manchester United has gone in for an operation and, yeah, let's get round to that. I'm reading in the paper this morning that Wayne Rooney is going to Bayern Munich. Suarez is leaving Manchester, or leaving Liverpool to go to Atletico Madrid. And I think, do people sit up at night and think, well, what can I write that's going to make a good story?
So you haven't heard any stories or rumours or anything in relation?
I was with Manchester United yesterday for about 3 hours, maybe longer than that, 4 hours. I was with lots of people at Old Trafford. Not a murmur about it. And then somebody came in and said, well, the bookmakers are putting a lot of money in David Moyes to become the next manager of Manchester United. I said, oh, that's the bookmakers. They must be shorty a few quid or there's not enough racing going on. So we'll speculate on this, and Manchester United is a big story, and I think it's a load of rubbish. I can't believe it for 1 minute that the manager's thinking of it. Maybe because of the story about his hip operation and all this sort of stuff. I just think it's the crazy season comes at this time of the year. We've got to make up a story somewhere. You tell me any one of those newspaper reporters that have got that story. I've actually spoken to MD at Manchester United and they have said that Alex Ferguson is quitting.
Well, Manchester United,
one that's actually spoke to anybody at Manchester United?
None of them have. There's no quotes from the club. The club aren't saying anything.
No, there's no quotes from the club. Well, who's bringing all this
story? Well, it's come from an announcement made to the players that they could expect an announcement at the club.
Well, who said made an announcement to the players? The players were at a golf day yesterday.
But that's coming from very good sources.
That's coming from who?
Very good sources, according to some reputable journalists.
Now, that's a classic football story. Oh, an insider told me.
But insiders aren't always wrong, Paddy, to be fair. I know that.
Told me. Hans Christian Andersen told me. Bloody Walt Disney told me.
No, you're right. Listen, there is sometimes speculation in the papers that is utter nonsense. No, you're right there. But there is sometimes speculation that is absolutely true. And this has been run
on broadsheets. Wait a minute. You're changing the whole situation. All of a sudden, you're talking about the papers making this story. And then you're saying, well, there's truth in the speculation. How can there be truth in speculation? Now, the world's going to end next week. Now, do you believe me? I'm speculating that the world's going to end next week. So a newspaper reporter can write anything. Bloody hell, a newspaper reporters have been reporting lies since the year dot.
Some have, but some haven't.
What do you mean some haven't? All right, tell me the ones that haven't.
The ones that haven't? I would believe the likes of Stuart Matheson, Mark Ogden, who's writing.
Oh, for God's sake, you're joking. Do you believe Stuart Matheson? Stuart's a very good friend of mine. He follows Manchester United all over the world. Stuart knows as much about what Alex Ferguson is going to do as I do. All speculation. And don't forget, newspaper reporters come under pressure from their editors. They've got to write something.
Well, the club themselves aren't saying anything. I've seen.
Well, when the club says something, that's when I'll believe it.
But normally they would rubbish such stories. Normally they come out and say, look, this is utter nonsense. But they haven't done that. Is that a worry for you?
No, let me say something. For years and years and years, Manchester United is a big story in any newspaper. The club must be fed up with denying stories. They must be sick and tired of the speculation that it's in. Well, all right then. Are Bayern Munich going to sign Wayne Rooney? I've read that in the paper this morning.
It's a possibility.
Oh, so you know something I don't?
No, I didn't say it was going to happen. I said it's a possibility. Just before I let you go, Paddy.
What do you mean? No, you give me your ideas of why you think it's a possibility.
Well, because he's not playing up front. Like, again, I'll use the word speculation. Like people say he wants to do, and it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely or anything. I'm saying it is possible, Paddy. Just
well, the world could come to an end tomorrow.
It possibly
could, isn't it?
Do you have a good source on that?
No, I don't actually, but I can speculate.
Okay, listen. Just before I let you go, have you heard?
I don't think there's a word of truth in it.
Okay, so you haven't heard anything.
I think Manchester United want to have a new manager. They've got to do that well in advance to set things in place for lots of reasons. And the manager's given no hints. The manager's... I've watched him on MUTV. I've sat and actually watched him speak and say he's going to sign two players before the start of next year, blah, blah, blah. I've sat and watched him. And now somebody writes a story in the paper and they expect me to believe it.
Yeah.
And then you lads are running about with your finger up your backside practically trying to get what's the truth of this, which I can understand you have to do that. I can understand that.
How long do you think Ferguson has left?
I think I'd be closer to the situation that Manchester United would be than most of those press guys would be, and I don't believe one word of it.
Well, that's why we called you, just before we let you go. How long do you think he will stay on?
I'm going to be 100% right.
Well, I know you have good sources. How long do you think he'll stay on?
As long as he's health lasts. I don't see any... I think he desperately wants to win the European Championship League again.
Yeah.
I still think he wants to win that. I mean, I'm hearing speculation. This is true. We live in Manchester, and the stories that revolve around English football, I've had it from different people. Oh, Manchester United are going to bring Cristiano Ronaldo back from Real Madrid, but also signing Gareth Bale, two big players for next year. That speculation has been, and I'm surprised that's not been in the newspapers to a great degree. There's been more talk about that over the last 3 or 4 weeks than anything. That they're going to sign Ronaldo back from Real Madrid, and Gareth Bale's probably coming as well. It's just, football's a fantasy game at times.
It can be. Okay, Paddy Creran, formerly of Manchester United and currently of MUTV, thank you very much for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.
Yeah, all right.
Lie down.
I'm a little brittle, but I'm okay. Before I get my finger out, Tottenham can go for it with victory over Chelsea this evening. Kickoff is at 7:45. At Manchester City.
Everywhere you go, all the communities have come out. I do a lot of travelling. I'm a rep on the road myself, from Bundoran to Gweedore. The colours are everywhere. There's pubs being painted, there's cars being painted, vans, animals, everything at all. But the key to it all is everyone's talking football, and that encourages all the young ones. You can see the young ones up here tonight with the Donegal t-shirts on, whereas last year with Man United ones, or maybe 2 years ago. So that's the big help now.
Is it helpful, hype, player-wise?
It's going to be very hard for them to avoid the hype, but with Jim McGuinness, there's no better man to shut them off and keep everything in-house, because the amount of stuff that's going on and the amount of nonsense that's been talked about, Donegal being such strong favourites, it's bound to seep into some of the players. But Jim should keep, I'd say he's got a very keen eye on that.
So club sides in Donegal play a similar kind of style to the county, granted not as intense, and the training sessions certainly aren't as long, but that isn't to say they're not strenuous. Charlie did ask me to step in on theirs, and I did. Here's how I got on.
Come on, sprint! Sprint!
Coach, what do you think? I've done 3 or 4 sprints. Should I get the club transfer form yet? Or?
I think this is, we're only warming up, Washing. I can hear that heavy breathing, and we're only warming up.
So I'm down after 8 sprints, which your lads seem to think is a warm-up. Does this give me an insight as to what it's like to play football in Donegal?
The way we play football in Donegal, the way the short hand passing that we play, you've got to support the man on the ball at all times. If you can't go up the field and back down and up again, you're no good to any team. If you're playing half forward, right half or left half, on any club team in Donegal, you're covering miles in games. And you can see our boys now aren't out of breath. We're giving them plenty of rest, but they go flat out each time. And we're only 50 minutes in the train.
Barry and Oshie!
Oh, Lord,
go on.
That's everyone, get in! Hand in, Oshie, hand in!
Finish.
Well, I came along to talk to you about the match, but you playfully suggested that I drop in on the training session, and I'm beginning to regret that decision. How do you think I did?
There's a couple of corner forwards looking very worried. They're looking over their shoulder, but nothing new with Tommy looking over his shoulder.
In case they step on any of the vomit I left on the pitch. Lads, I let the judgment up to ye. My training was lacklustre, to say the least. Is this how the Donegal team train? Is this kind of similar to how they would train?
They would train like that, with more intensity, and for another hour and a half. Donegal training sessions are 3 hours. But as Mikey McNiff pointed out, there's a lot of talking and there's a lot of huddles. There'll be, what, about an extra 45 minutes on top of that. And that's... Last Friday night, we went back to the heavy stuff. But the Donegal boys, they're operating at a different level. Totally different level. We're just still ordinary club footballers. We're just training as hard as we can.
And after 5 minutes of your hour and a half long session, I was doubled over, which I think says a lot about my fitness. Lads, I thought I could keep up with you. I obviously can't. And I think I deserve a bit of a punishment. So what's the suggestions here? 10 sit-ups, press-ups?
10 burpees. 10 burpees.
Okay, will you count them out for me, lads?
We will.
Do you burpees here?
No, you don't. Press up, then up. Press up, then up, and hands up. That's it.
Okay.
Right, Oisín for 10. Go!
Go!
One!
Press up.
Two! Two!
Job in Dublin Airport, flag and plane.
Three.
Come on, it's not ladies. GA training.
Struggling.
Five. He's moving forward. Six. Seven. Come on. Three. Three more for the Dubs.
White stuff coming out of his mouth. You actually look like Joe McNally when you're.
Off Donegal. Well done, Oisín. Good work. Good work.
Brian Cody says there was disappointment in the dressing room following the draw. Afterwards, I spoke to him and first I asked if he was disappointed with their relatively slow start.
Difficult to say because we didn't really have a real slow start. You know, we got into it quickly. We got a pint in the board, I think, and we seemed to be, you know, we were competitive, we were doing fine. And then they came storming back into it and they took over. Without a shadow of a doubt, they took over. And we were finding it difficult to make headway. But that's the way hurling goes, you know. I mean, you certainly never dominate for 70 minutes. And they had that period of dominance, say, in the first half. But like I said, I think the last 10 minutes of the first half, we stabilised things a bit, came back into it and got a few scores on the board and kept it at 5 points. And then we just built on it and we drove things forward and we put ourselves in a position where we possibly could win the game. And obviously we didn't, but we didn't lose it either.
What did you make of the free award at the end, the one that Galway equalised from?
A lot of people are asking me that as if to think, how do you think of yourself, Oisín?
I thought it was a free, to be fair, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Well, you thought it, but more importantly, Barry Kelly thought it.
Yeah,
you know, that's all that matters to me. I'm sure every Kilkenny person at a match, maybe you're hoping it isn't a free.
What did you think?
It doesn't really matter what I think. I'm not playing Barry. There were several instances during the game of maybe for ourselves, and for there were some frees I'm sure we got during the game where a lot of people say that might be a handy free, and vice versa as well. Because it would happen in the last poke of the game, it's going to be blown up out of all proportion. And because two managers who should be excited at that stage of the game got a bit excited on the sideline, suddenly it's something that's very, very serious. It was a free. Whether it was a foul or not, it was a free. That's all that matters.
Sometimes when you draw a game, particularly when you're ahead going into the dying moments, the feeling is one of being down in the dressing room. Is that the feeling in your dressing room, or is it just a case of game ends, let's do it again in 3 weeks?
Well, fellas are fellas, like, you know, and there's a huge amount of emotion and energy put into the game. So there would be natural disappointment, you know, they wouldn't win the game because 30 seconds before the final whistle blew, we were ahead, you know. So it's understandable that we'd be disappointed. And maybe God is saying... They got the equaliser, so maybe that might be good. But at half time, Galway looked a better team, so they'd be thinking, God, you know, it's disappointing because we had a winning of that game. So there were times in the game when they had a winning of it and we had a winning of it. Both of us ended up having to go through this all over again, so be it, that's it.
Kilkenny manager Brian Cody interviewing me after the game yesterday. 19 points to 213, the final score, and they will do it all again on September 30th. Oddly enough, a draw in the minor final as well. That's the first draw since. Staying with hurling, and 9-time All-Ireland winner Henry Shefflin has been reflecting on winning Sunday's final against Galway, in which he scored 12 points. A shoulder injury kept him out of the league and almost forced him to miss the Dublin game at the start of the Leinster Championship. In recent years, he's recovered from two cruciate knee ligament injuries, which is quite an amazing feat when you think about it. I asked Henry how tough the recovery was, and if there was a time late last year or early this year that he thought maybe he might not be back.
It's never nice looking in, you know, but I suppose in the winter time you probably don't mind too much, but you'd always have question marks, especially when you're not just going out and turning up and going training, you're going to the physio, you're doing all this stuff that you don't want to be doing, which is distractions, and you just love to enjoy hurling, love to enjoy going training, but when you're injured, as anyone would tell you, you don't enjoy that much because it's tough going, you know, and it's just trying to turn that corner and get back to the other side is the goal for it.
Is the really tough thing, or is one of the toughest things, the fact that people, and when you bump into them on the street or whatever,
will ask you about the injury and how you're going. Is that something that is difficult to deal with?
I think maybe so at the time, especially when it's not going great and you're trying to put a brave face on, or you meet the media and you're trying to be, oh yeah, there's not a problem, but you know, you're probably bundled up all inside you, so that can be difficult. Of course it can, and but people meet well and everything like that, and I never mind talking about injuries or hurling to anyone, because it's I'll be long enough where I'll be talking to people about it and they won't be talking to me about it. So, but that can be tough as well. Yes.
What were your own thoughts on the Joe Canning comments a couple of weeks ago?
I didn't read them. Obviously, I don't read the papers before the matches, but you know, I met Joe yesterday and the first thing he said to me was about the comments, because I think the media just kind of made a big thing of it more than anything else, and I think it was taken out of context. And you know, I know Joe and Joe's a lovely fella, so I don't think, you know, the media loves a good story, as they say, more than anything else.
And back with the club now, I think it's Fenians next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, back with the club. We're playing Johnston next weekend, last round the club last round, so we've a busy few weeks, please, got ahead of us, but obviously TJ is a question mark for ourselves, so it's going to be a major loss if we lose him. But no, it's great, and you know, it's wonderful. I think, you know, glad to be saying, Jesus, you're going to be still hurling this and that, but sure, you know, and make the winter nice and short, and it's great to be enjoying it.
Henry Shefflin speaking at the Kilkenny Team Hotel. He made time for absolutely everyone yesterday, as did the rest of the Kilkenny squad. Interestingly enough, Joe Canning, Matty Kenny, the goalies.
Paddy, the producer, said, even Oisín.
Well, yeah, that's because I forced him into a corner. He didn't. I'm the one person he maybe didn't want to make time for, but he did, and that tells you how good a guy he actually is. Now, in hurling, Galway's Joe Canning has expressed a frustration with punditry and criticism of him and his team, and I suppose GA players at large. Canning's positioning away from the goals is a constant debating point among hurling supporters and critics alike, who see him maybe as a full forward. They don't want to see him, you know, going back to midfield or going into his own half. I've been speaking to him about criticism and how he handles it.
You can ignore praise, all right. I'd say I ignore praise, but I don't ignore criticism. I'm my own worst critic, really, a lot of the time, and I know that myself, but it kind of annoys me, I suppose, when people that haven't been through it, that haven't played the game or stuff like that, or been out of the game for a long time, criticise what you're trying to do. And even look at like the Galway footballers there last week, got a bit of a beating from Mayo, and people criticising them, but they train every bit as hard as the Mayo guys, and it was just unfortunate on the day that they weren't good enough. And I don't like that side of things, and at the end of the day, it is an amateur game, but played nearly by professionals, if you know what I mean, the way we train and prepare for games. And it seems very easy for people to point the finger and criticise GAA players, especially. It's just hard to know, but you know, that's just the way of life. You have to get on with it and try not let these things affect you, but sometimes they do, you know.
Have you ever thought to yourself, you know what, I don't need this, I can go to Australia, I can go to America, whatever, or just give up playing inter-county hurling? I'm not trying to get you to give up. No, I'm saying you should. I'm just saying, given what you're saying, is it something you have thought about?
Yeah, you do. When you get abuse after matches and stuff like that, and you know, you often get maybe a letter in the post or something, yeah, saying you were bad and stuff like this. And
I assume anonymously.
Yes, yeah. People don't put their name in it or anything like that. And you know, you'd often wonder then why is it all worth it? But at the end of the day, it is. It's something. It's a lifestyle choice, and it's something that you love from a young age. And the GAA is really special that way, that you're representing your family, your friends and your community, and that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, the pros really, really outweigh the cons, you know.
Joe Canning of Galway.
Now let's get the latest sports news. Oisín Langan's here.
We'll start with boxing, because Katie Taylor says turning professional was never really an option, but she wanted to consider all options. Four-time world champion and five-time European champion confirmed today that she is staying amateur and outlined her decision to me.
Yeah, delighted to confirm that I'm going to stay amateur for the next 4 years and try to defend the Olympic title in Rio. It's going to be a huge challenge over the next few years, but it's a challenge that I'm really looking forward to. And there's nothing better really than boxing for your country and bringing back medals, so I hope to continue that.
Was the temptation to go professional big? Was it difficult to refuse?
I was just trying to take all the professional contracts into consideration, really. I don't think I was ever really considering it realistically, really. But obviously when big money offers are coming in, you have to consider them, and that's what I was doing. But in the end, my heart was always in amateur boxing, and as I said, boxing for your country is much more than any money in the world, really. So I'm delighted to stay amateur and hopefully continue to win competitions.
News Talk 106 to 108.